What have you done during the holidays? Watching TV. Playing football, Daniel, playing football, okay? Playing football. Yes, Sebas? Pardon?
Getting rides in tractors and combines.
Getting rides?
Yeah.
Okay. Where did you go to?
On the farm.
On the farm?
Yeah.
Wow. Sounds beautiful. Yes? Okay, now, what have you not enjoyed? What have you not liked? Oh, yes.
All the homework I've been getting.
The homework you've been getting? Well, schools have just started, and already you don't like those homeworks. Okay. What have you not liked? Oh, come on. You haven't told me what you have enjoyed or liked. Only one or two things. Now, you haven't told me anything you don't like or have not liked. What have you not liked? What have you been frustrated about? What have you been worried about? Okay, now, what are you worried about now as you've gone back to school? No answer. You don't have answers. So I take that all of us are happy people. You have been happy with what you've done during the holidays. You've gone back to school. You are still happy, even though sometimes the homeworks, the assignments can be quite worrisome. But we have been a happy people. Now, all of us have been living through this time of the pandemic. What is that pandemic? What do I mean here? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yes? COVID-19. It's a disease. What do you know about COVID-19? Yes.
It can be fatal,
yes. So some people have died from COVID-19. Others have been very ill. And still, we want to thank God for our lives. And many, many people are still worried about COVID-19. When you came into church, you saw everybody with a face mask. That is worrisome, isn't it? Because we want to sing freely and to talk to one another freely, but we can't because we don't want everybody to get sick from that virus or that disease. Now, Jesus Christ was talking to people who were worried at one point, and he said, "You don't need to worry about anything." Of course, there are many problems that we have in life, but Jesus says, if we keep worrying about them, then we will not enjoy the good things that he has given us. So instead of worrying, we can always bring our problems to God. We can always trust that God loves us. And even though we have problems, we know that he is with us. So whatever worries we have, whether it is about some of the challenges that come with going to school, homework, or maybe other problems in the house when we don't want to go to bed early and mom or dad says go to bed, whatever we think is a problem, we have to bring it to God and trust God because he loves us and he cares for us. So let us stop worrying. And as God has enabled us to come back to church, let us continue to be faithful, listening to God's word, learning from God, and trusting that God will continue to bless us. I'm so pleased that we have come back and that you all have come back. I'm sure that in the days ahead, most of your friends who are not here today will also join us. I will now say a prayer for all of us and especially for you, that God will continue to bless us and to bless you as you take your classes in Sunday school, and that we will continue to grow in the faith. So let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our children, the ones that are here and the ones that are online through Zoom. We thank you for the holidays, and we thank you that schools have started again. Father, we bring these children to you. For each day when they go to school, they encounter new friends. They try, O Father, to negotiate their lives and to negotiate new possibilities as they grow in their educational careers. We pray, O God, that you will protect them from any harm or danger. Grant them the spirit of commitment, that they would like their books, that they would love to study, and you will continue to reward their labor. Father, we thank you for all the teachers who teach them at Sunday school here in our own congregation and parish. Continue to bless them with wisdom, knowledge, and direction as they raise these children in your fear and in your love. And we thank you too for the rest of the congregation, that as we worship you day in, day out, may our lives, O Father, show forth that which you've called us to be. Let your blessings be upon us, now and always. Amen. Our next hymn is Blessing and Honor.
Let us open our hearts and minds to the word of the Lord. Our first reading is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 12, verses 22 to 34. And you can read along with these on the overhead or with Zoom. This is entitled, Do Not Worry. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And continuing on the theme of God's provision and the motif of birds and ravens is our reading from the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 to 6, entitled Elijah Fed by Ravens. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerith ravine east of Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there." So he did what the Lord told him. He went to the Kerith ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Amen.
Our next theme, 10,000 reasons, bless the Lord, O my soul.
Oh,
Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, let your word be spoken clearly, and let the hearts receive it and keep it. Amen. Yesterday was the 20th anniversary of the September 2001 attacks in the United States of America. Almost 3,000 people died at the hands of 19 Islamic terrorists. Fathers, mothers, sons and daughters, grandparents, aunts and uncles, many families were changed forever. And there are still people suffering from post-traumatic stress issues related to the deadliest atrocities or terrorist attack in American history. Hatred that is cloaked in religious fervor and that causes someone to fly a plane into a building full of people is evil at its core. Harper Lee, the American novelist, best known for her 1960 novel, To Kill a Mockingbird, was perceptive when she commented that sometimes the Bible in the hand of one man is worse than a whiskey bottle in the hand of another. There are just some kind of men who are so busy worrying about the next world, they have never learned to live in this one. And you can look down the street and see the results. Dear friends, how do we move past the conflicting emotions surrounding an event that fundamentally changed the world? How do we reconcile our questions about why God would allow it to happen at all? My very simple answer to those questions is only trust in God, and God's word can give us healing for our hearts, perspective for our thoughts, and hope for the future. Otherwise, we keep worrying about things we cannot change and make the consequences of despair or problems contagious. A story is told of a fellow who was about to jump from a bridge. An alert police officer slowly and methodically moved towards him, talking with him all the time. When the officer got within inches of the man, he said, "Surely nothing could be bad enough for you to take your life. Tell me about it. Talk to me." The would-be jumper told how his wife had left him, how his business had gone bankrupt, and how his friends had deserted him. Everything in life had lost meaning. For 30 minutes, he told the sad story. Then they both jumped over the bridge. You know why both of them jumped? Because even the police officer who was out to help this man also had problems. There is nobody in this world without problems. And when we become so preoccupied with our problems, we cause two other problems: anxiety and contagion. Let us think of problems and anxieties and God's way of helping us out of them if we put our trust in Him. The key figure of our Old Testament text is Elijah the prophet. And the context suggests a crucial time in the history of Israel. It looked as if the worship of the true God might be eliminated in the northern kingdom. The land swarmed with the priests of Baal and of the groves, proud of court favor, glorifying in their sudden rise to power, insolent, greedy, licentious, and debased. The people had renounced the worship of the true God, and of the thousands of Israel, only 7,000 remained who had not bowed the knee or kissed the hand of Baal. At this crucial time in the history of Judah and Israel, the prophet Elijah suddenly appeared. He became the dominant spiritual force in Israel during the dark days of Ahab's apostasy. Elijah means Yahweh is my God. And in the days when Ahab's government officially supported the worship of Baal and other gods, even the name of this prophet told the truth. Yahweh is God. But Elijah came with a message. There shall be no rain nor dew this year except at my word. It was a dramatic demonstration against the pagan god Baal, who was thought to be the sky god, the god of the weather. Elijah showed that through his prayers to the God of Israel, Yahweh was mightier than Baal. He put the old religion against the new and showed moral strength against moral weakness. But the drought announced by Elijah was a great threat to the northern kingdom of Israel and the reign of Ahab. Therefore, his life was in danger, and God sent him to the brook Cherith for his own safety. Through this, God taught Elijah the value of the hidden life. He had just become famous as an adversary of Ahab, so mighty that his prayers could stop the rain. At the moment of his newfound faith, God wanted Elijah to hide and be alone with God. Dear friend, do you sometimes imagine how being alone, sometimes in difficult circumstances, might be helpful for healing some of the troubles and aches of your life? Sometimes our Father says, "Dear child, you have had enough of this hurry and publicity and excitement and anxiety. Get away and hide yourself by some brook. Hide yourself in the cherith of the sick chamber, or in the cherith of disappointed hopes, or in the cherith of bereavement, or in some solitude from which the crowds have ebbed away." But Elijah was not alone in the brook Cherith. No, he had God and himself to converse with and would be trained on dependence upon the Lord. In a season of drought, he had to trust that God could keep this brook flowing. He also had to accept food from the ravens, which were unclean animals. God's choice of this animal to provide bread and meat for Elijah demonstrates two things. First, that God's manner of provision can be surprising or unusual. And second, that God's command overrides the natural instinct of this creature, making it even more miraculous. As faithfully as God provided manna for Israel in the wilderness, God provided for Elijah's needs. He came to trust more than ever in the miraculous provision of God. But after a while, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So Elijah saw the flow of the brook slow down until it dried up. His source of water was gone, and he would have been worried and anxious. Like Elijah, that great prophet, we think of the drying brooks of our own lives that bring anxiety and worry. What are they? Maybe the drying brook of popularity, ebbing away as from John the Baptist. The drying brook of health, sinking under a creeping paralysis or a slow consumption. The drying brook of money, slowly dwindling before the demands of sickness, bad debts, or other people's extravagance. The drying brook of friendship, which for long has been diminishing and threatens soon to cease. Why does God let them dry or lead us to these places of anxiety and pain? Because he wants to teach us not to trust in his gifts, but in himself. The problem is, it is much easier to talk about trust, confidence in God's goodness and provision in the face of despair and doubt than it is to live it. That is why many people worship God every day but still live in anxiety and worry, despite the scripture's counsel that God is willing and ready to supply our needs according to his riches in glory. Our Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about what your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest?" Dear friends, there are so many problems in this world. And if you truly want to be at peace, you need to develop a habit of trusting God and leaving everything in his hands and his care. Anxiety and worry won't do. Now, the opposite of anxiety is calmness and peace of mind. And I think that is what we all seek. Duke University did a study on peace of mind. That is, factors found to contribute greatly to emotional and mental stability. Let us learn from them. And the first one is the absence of suspicion and resentment. Nursing a grudge was a major factor in unhappiness. The second one is not living in the past. An unwholesome preoccupation with old mistakes and failures leads to depression. And the third, not wasting time and energy fighting conditions you cannot change. Cooperate with life instead of trying to run away from it. And the fourth is force yourself to stay involved with the living world. Resist the temptation to withdraw and become reclusive during periods of emotional stress. And fifth, refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal. Accept the fact that nobody gets through life without some sorrow or misfortune. And then sixth, cultivate the old-fashioned virtues, love, humor, compassion, and loyalty. And then seven, do not expect too much of yourself. When there is too wide a gap between self-expectation and your ability to meet the goals you have set, feelings of inadequacy are inevitable. And then eighth and finally, find something bigger than yourself to believe in. Self-centered, egotistical people score lowest on any test for measuring happiness. Those are eight recipes for a peaceful life. But remember from our lessons, there is time to speak out against the evil of society. There is the value of the hidden life, time to go away and hide in a brook Cherith for recreation and safety, trusting God for all our problems. But remember, there is no time for worry, because worry doubles trouble, and strips us of the joy that tomorrow might bring. As Randy Armstrong puts it rather beautifully, worrying does not take away tomorrow's troubles, it takes away today's peace. And Jesus says, stop worrying and only trust. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we confess for times when we worry too much instead of putting our trust in you. Help us, O Father, to trust in you and to leave everything at your feet. Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next theme is Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Let us bring before God our prayers for the offering and our intercessions for the world, the church, others, and ourselves. Let us pray. Lord, for the blessings of this and all our days, we thank you. Accept, we pray, not just our money, but also our lives, freely offered in gratitude for all that you have done for us, gracious Lord. Use them both in this place and wherever you discern the need is greatest. Amen. In our prayers of intercession, the bidding will be God of grace and mercy, and the response, hear our prayer. God of grace and mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. God of grace and compassion, our hearts are full of gratitude as we think of the many blessings in our lives, the gift of faith to believe in you, the love of family and friends, for shelter, clean water and plentiful food, for access to education and health care, for peace, democracy, equality, and the embracing of diversity, for the freedom of speech and the freedom of movement. Lord, we pray for those who do not share our experiences, for the homeless, the displaced, and the separated, for the thirsty with no access to clean water, and the hungry witnessing another failed harvest, for the ill and the dying, with limited access to medical supervision and essential medicines, for those trapped in political and military regimes, suffering both mental and physical anguish, for those displaced and forced to flee into foreign lands, languishing in overcrowded refugee camps, for those ensnared in physical disasters, with homes and livelihoods destroyed, families lost, for those who worship you in hostile environments, in secret, behind closed doors, hidden from prying eyes. Lord, we lift them up to you this day and ask that your blessings will be poured out onto each and every one of them. We also lift up the many governments and charities who work tirelessly in your name to resolve their plight, ease their suffering, and turn a mere existence into sustainable living. May we never lose sight of the fact that whilst distance may separate us, we are all connected through your creative hand. And despite our differences in religion, culture, lifestyle, and appearance, we all belong to one race, the human race. And the suffering and joy experienced in their lives is our shared suffering and joy. God of grace and mercy, hear our prayer. God of grace and compassion, our hearts are full of concern as we think of all those who are afflicted by physical, emotional, or mental illness at this time. We pray that through the lonely times and in their pain, they will keep their eyes fixed on you. Comfort them, Lord, and strengthen and support all who care for them. We thank you for the skills of our medical teams, our surgeons, anaesthetists, general practice doctors, nurses, and care staff who deliver the best of health care, emulating your loving concern and healing touch. We thank you for the development of the COVID-19 vaccines, the management of the vaccine rollout program, and advances in communication software, which has allowed us to share worship online, even in such difficult and isolating times. Lord, we pray that you are able to provide solace and inspiration to those who feel detached from you at this moment, those who feel that you may not be present in their daily lives, or find it difficult to turn their thoughts towards you. We pray that they are able to experience once again your ever-present and glorifying nature, realizing that you had never left them, but were always there, waiting. God of grace and mercy, hear our prayer. God of grace and compassion, you continually surprise us and help us to cope with and do things that are beyond our human imagination and worldly expectations. Please breathe new life into our church, our traditions, our familiar practices, so that we, your people, are better equipped to serve you in this ever-changing world. Lord, may the church and presbytery leaders have clarity of thought and a commitment to work collaboratively with each congregation to resolve a meaningful and sustainable presence within each church in our emerging cluster. We pray for our minister and the Kirk session as they meet this week to consider the questions put to them by the presbytery concerning our church and its future witness in North Fife. May we embrace change and new forms of church, utilising new technologies and different approaches to worship. May we commit to mission, outreach, and witness, and fulfil our vision of serving you fully in this place. God of grace and mercy, hear our prayer. God of grace and compassion, we hold before you our monarchy and all those who govern our country and make and uphold its laws. For our armed forces, our police service, and all those who maintain peace and order. Lord God, we thank you for our families, our neighbours and our friends, for the joy of human loving and sharing. We pray your blessing on all those we love, whether present with us today or far away on some distant shore. Father, we welcome into your eternal presence all those we know who have died recently. And help us to draw on the stories of their witness to inspire our own journey of faith. Comfort the bereaved, bless their loved ones, and bring us all in time to share in the joy of heaven above. Lord, in a moment of silence, we bring before you our own personal concerns and worries. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you are able, please rise. Let us together affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We bring our service to its close, singing, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world. Amen.